Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. On today's episode, we are going to talk about one of the attributes of our Almighty God, and that is love. Now, we know that God is love, but the world's idea of love and what believers know about His love can be at odds.
That's right. And these days, even professing Christians can misunderstand the definition of God's love. So as always, we're going to dive into Scripture and talk about this, and we hope that you're encouraged along the way.
Yes. And speaking of encouragement, Michelle and I got some great news to pass along from our podcast hosting service. We've been using Podbean, and that's how many of you listen to us through Podbean. Podbean is technically speaking where our audio files and of all of our podcasts live, even though you might listen to us on other platforms like our website, awordfitlyspoken.life, or Apple iTunes, or Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and many more.
Yeah, so I get this email from Amy a few days ago that she forwarded from Podbean saying that A Word Fitly Spoken has surpassed a milestone of more than 10,000 downloads. That is really exciting for us, not because we want to be making a name for ourselves, but because we want to get the word out about who God is to as many people as we can for His glory.
Yes, and as exciting as that is, I think Podbean is a bit behind on things because I went there just now as we were recording this, and we now have about 32,000 downloads.
Wow.
So maybe they'll send us another email when we get to 50,000, who knows? But y'all can make that happen by sharing.
Yes, please do. Please help us out by sharing the podcast on social media and by word of mouth and by carrier pigeon, however you want to share it. But we also have another piece of exciting news this week. I'm so excited about this. If you follow Amy on Facebook or Twitter, you might have already found out about this, but she is going to, they're in the process of making American Gospel 3 right now. I'm sure you've seen American Gospel 1, Christ Alone, and then there was American Gospel 2, Christ Crucified, and Amy is going to be in American Gospel 3, and we're not sure what the subtitle on that one is yet, I guess. Are we? Do we know what that one's going to be called?
It's a mystery. We don't know yet. I don't know what it is yet, but it has something to do with the Holy Spirit. So I'm very excited about that. And, you know, I went down to my friend Stephen Kozar's house over the weekend and was able to do a recording there. The producer, director, Brandon Kimber, did both of us, recorded us. And, you know, you go through 3 hours of interviews, but then you know how that goes. Who knows? I hope I don't make the complete thing on the cutting room floor, as they say, but you know, we just shared what we've been researching about and, you know, how things are going with different popular New Apostolic Reformation conferences, and shared just kind of our experiences with the whole thing. So it should be very interesting. There are a lot of people involved in this, and I'm excited to see how it turns out.
I'm excited too. We'll keep everybody posted, you know, as the time comes closer for the movie to come out, and you know, I'll just be so excited to say I know a movie star. So
oh my goodness. Well, thank you, Michelle, and sometime in 2021. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And those are great witnessing tools. You can share these with people who maybe don't know the gospel or who might think they know who Jesus is, but they might have, you know, some different views that they've been taught that aren't quite biblical. But anyway, Michelle, let's talk about how the Bible describes God's love. And then we want to share a few things about how some Christians have slightly distorted this view of His love. And we want to bring that view back in alignment.
Some of them, it's more than a little slightly. It might have to be a major readjustment to bring them back into alignment, but let's see what we can do. You know, the Bible has so many ways to describe the love of God. You're familiar with the verses in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight light and evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is God's description of love. And because God is love, as it says in 1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Yes, that verse tells us that we must love as well. So what does God's love look like? Well, the greatest expression of it can be found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Romans 5:8 proclaims the same message, saying a little bit differently, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, these verses show us that God's greatest desire is that we are his own by adoption. He's made that way possible by paying the price for our sins. He loves us because he chose us as an act of his will. And in 1 John 1:9, he tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Right. And why does God love us? Well, one thing is certain. God does not love us because we are lovable or because we deserve it. Amy just read that God loved us while we were still steeped in our sinful state. And that state for all of mankind since the fall is one of rebellion and disobedience. Jeremiah 17:9 describes man's inner condition this way: the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our innermost beings are so corrupted by sin that we don't even comprehend how horribly sin has tainted us. In our pre-salvation days, we did not seek God, we did not love God, and we did not even desire to know him. Romans 3:10 through 12 says it best of the unregenerate person. It says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one."
So how is it even possible for a holy, righteous, and perfect God to love us sinners? Well, to understand this, we must understand something of the nature and character of God. Love is not only one attribute of God, it is the core of God's character. God's love is hard for many people to grasp because his other attributes are just as integral to whom he is as his love is. It's his holiness, his righteousness, justice, and his wrath. Does wrath contradict love? Well, as Paul would say, by no means. So let's look at a couple of verses that to the world don't sound very loving, but they really are. From the Old Testament, Jeremiah 30:23, "Behold the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked." Or how about Nahum 1:2? "The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies."
Wow. All right. And then here's some from the New Testament. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Revelation 19:15 says, "From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty." And in Revelation 6, we read in verse 15 that "the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'"
Yeah, so not only is God's wrath something of an annoyance to those who don't know him, but even many who say they do know him are offended by the words propitiation, which means blood sacrifice, and repentance, which is simply to turn from sin. that these folks would rather say that God is only love, well, their definition of love anyway, and that God, the God they believe in is a nice God who doesn't do mean things like judge sin or send people to hell. And they don't want anything to do with the God of wrath or, quite frankly, the God of the Bible.
Yeah, what's happening is that these people have created a God that is more to their liking rather than the real God of the Bible. They do not know him or understand that God's wrath is his love in action against sin. He must judge sin because he's holy, but all of God's attributes are in perfect harmony. Everything God does is loving, just as everything he does is just and right. God is the perfect example of true love. We have an audio example of how professing Christians of influence are making up their own version of a loving God. And we are going to share this with you, our listeners, so that you can hear how far off this is from the God of Scripture.
Yes, if you've ever watched those films that were popular a few years back titled Finger of God, Father of Lights, Furious Love, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost Reborn, there are quite a few of them. Well, the director of those films, Darren Wilson, admits that his films don't talk about repentance, but instead focus on the love of God while ignoring his wrath poured out on Christ on the cross for our sins. Now keep in mind that Scripture says in 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Christ turned away the righteous anger of God and satisfied the demands of his justice in our place. Jesus did this to fulfill God's love for us. So now the first voice you're going to hear right now is director Darren Wilson, and then the second voice is going to be Jamie Galloway, who is a minister or a pastor.
What I film a lot,
yeah,
is I don't know if we've ever filmed, like, you need to repent. Like, there's, I don't think anybody has ever said that in any of my movies, which is why I get picketers outside of my, yeah, stuff. Because it's like, what we present is Jesus loves you, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. But what the other, with, like, yeah, our other brothers and sisters who are going to get upset with us, mm-hmm, will say, but you're not giving them the whole picture. Romans, you're showing them, yeah, you're showing them one part of that, God's love, and you're not showing them the wrath that he has and how much he hates their sin. And so you're not, and that's why they get angry and frustrated with us, because you're not giving them the full picture.
Yeah, that version of repentance does not make sense to me.
It doesn't.
Yeah. When I think of repentance, it's like the joy of my salvation. Mm-hmm. And when I think, yes, of repentance, I don't think of, man, I am so horrible, I could never ever do anything to please God. Oh God, what a wretched person that I am. That does not bring any kind of help to me personally. Mm. I think we have so much of that in today's society. Like, you are not enough. You are not enough. You are not enough. And that kind of repentance, I think, gets no one anywhere. That's more penance than, mm-hmm, repentance.
Michelle, clearly this crew and this pastor have a skewed view of God's love. Can't see your face right now, but I can only imagine. What are you thinking?
Oh, my goodness. Skewed is being nice. Yeah. I mean, all I can think of is, you know, first of all, it's me, me, me is what he's saying. You know, this doesn't make sense to me. This isn't, you know, comfortable for me to think about or whatever. And, you know, it's not about you, Mr. Pastor there or whoever you are. It's not about you. It's about God and his glory and his plan and what he's trying to accomplish and what he is accomplishing. And, you know, if God is just a God of love and there's no wrath, what was the point of Jesus dying on the cross? Why doesn't he just welcome everybody in with love, love, love? And what kind of God, if this is a God who's all love and he's going to just welcome everybody in like that anyway, how do you reconcile that with a God who still sends his only son to the cross? You know, that's not loving, is it? It's not loving to send Christ to the cross if there's no need for it, right?
No, so, exactly. And there are some in the progressive Christianity movement, which is, I put bunny ears around Christianity, who say and have said for years that sending Jesus to the cross is cosmic child abuse, which is just not even a Christian thought, but something clearly from the pit of the devil.
Right. I mean, well, you know, if what he's saying is true and there is no wrath against sin and it's just love, 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 it is cosmic child abuse, because there was no need for Christ to go to the cross if it's just going to be all, you know, hearts and flowers and everything's hunky-dory and, you know, you're not a terrible person, which we are. You know, we are terrible people. We are sinners. And that's why Christ had to go to the cross. So, you know, this just, it's absolutely not biblical, everything that he was saying. Not biblical. That's my reaction.
Not even a little biblical. And, you know, there is a movement among those on the more, I would say, the liberal side of the coin who are moving to strike words like propitiation or atonement from the story of Christ. And that is not even Christian. And so this is a apostasy.
Right. And, you know, there are some in the Christian music industry also sharing a warped version of God's love with a worldwide fan base. For instance, his love has been described as reckless. I'm sure we've all heard that, thanks in part to many seeker-friendly churches that try to make God more attractive to a broad audience without thinking about the actual meaning of the word reckless. I mean, this idea that God's love is reckless, it was popularized a few years ago by a worship song called Reckless Love, published by Bethel Music. In 2018, the song spent 18 weeks at number one on Billboard's U.S. Hot Christian Songs chart and over a year in the top 10. It won the 2019 Dove Song of the Year Award and the Christian Song of the Year Award, and it was also nominated for a Grammy Award in 2019. Charisma House Publishing, an organization that's part of the New Apostolic Reformation, they put out a devotional book based on the song titled Reckless Love, A 40-Day Journey into the Overwhelming, Never-Ending Love of God. I just don't even know what to say to all that, but I know what you must be thinking, Amy, and I bet it starts with good grief.
Michelle, you read my mind. In fact, we've been doing this so long, I think you can almost finish my thoughts, but oh, that's frightening in itself. But you know, yeah, good grief. And oh my goodness, the Bible's descriptions show that God's love is the opposite of reckless, just the opposite. A reckless person acts with little or no forethought, but God chose believers before the foundation of the world, as it says in Ephesians 1. A reckless love pays no attention to consequences. You might as well conjure up some images of teenagers in the backseat of a station wagon. That's reckless, and it's definitely not love. But God knew the consequences of all that his love would require. Remember, Jesus did not go blindly to the cross. He laid down his own life by his own choice to take the punishment that our sin deserves. That love was set in motion in the book of Genesis when God promised a Savior. So really, the song Reckless Love is unbiblical. And not only does it warp God's love, but given that the songwriters are from a church that is heavily steeped in the New Apostolic Reformation and led by Bill Johnson, who calls himself a modern-day apostle, which, by the way, there are no modern-day apostles, he specializes in the false signs and wonders that shipwreck the faith of so many, and he makes a lot of money on prophecy schools and even showing children how to see Jesus face-to-face. You know, we really can and should avoid any such philosophies from the music that comes out of such an organization.
Amen to that. Well, let's talk about whom God loves. Does God love everyone? Well, yes, in that he shows mercy and kindness to all. It's hard for some to believe, but God really does love unbelievers. However, the kind of love God offers that justifies sinners is not extended to everyone, only to those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to what Romans 5:1 says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The love of God that brings people into intimacy with himself is extended to those who love the Son of God, as it says in John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This love could be thought of as God's covenant love, and it is conditional, given only to those who place their faith in Jesus for salvation. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are loved unconditionally, securely, forever.
Oh, amazing. And amazingly, God has given those who receive his son Jesus as their personal savior the ability to love as he does. Even though, you know, we might not be able to comprehend and do it exactly the same, but he gives us this ability to love through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And John 3:1 tells us, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." And as we wrap up this episode, just a reminder for us and for all listening that we really must be in prayer for those who don't have this kind of love yet, those who are perishing, whether they are loved ones near and dear to us or complete strangers to us. We pray and share God's message of hope wherever and whenever we are able.
Absolutely. That's the, you know, that song from so many years ago, "The Greatest Love of All." That is the greatest love of all, not the love that you find inside yourself, but the love that we reflect when we reflect Christ's love for sinners. That is the greatest love that we can have, is to share the gospel with them and to want them to spend eternity in heaven with Christ. Well, if you've been encouraged by this or by any other episode of A Word Fitly Spoken, please share that encouragement with others by forwarding these podcasts to friends or on your social media. And until next time, reflect God's love to others and walk worthy.